The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Friday, October 8th, and week five of the NFL season is here. Excited for it. Man, love some football, and we have a great slate on tap, including a killer. Well, we already saw, I'm sure, a great Thursday night game. Plus, we have an incredible Sunday night football game between the Bills and the Chiefs. We'll talk about that and much more. But first, we got to hand out a trophy. Actually, I left my trophy. I have a trophy here, a Shecky. I could give you that, RJ. I was going to bring a broom up to my office because RJ swept his best bets last week, 6-0.
There we go.
That's a first. That's a first for us, I think.
It may be. I mean, 6-0 is strong, man. I looked last night, or maybe today. I looked at some point on Sportsline.com. If you go there, somehow RJ's not even the hottest expert. It's our buddy Larry Hartstein's even warmer somehow. 14 and a half units over 18-3 in his last 21. RJ 22-7 in his last 29 bets against the spread. All these are posted for your accessibility and enjoyment on sportsline.com. That is a 76% winning. He's hitting out 76% of his bets so far in the NFL season. And you can get all of RJ's bets for $1. Go to sportsline.com/join, use promo code EDGE, and you can get them for $1. Pete, we'll give you you want to give Pete a golf clap for 4-3?
It should have been 5-2. What the hell were the Chargers doing on Monday night? Throw the damn ball.
That game was never going over.
They put it away in the first quarter. You thought it was going over. You had the live line, and you went, did you get that? Did you hit that?
No, I didn't actually bet it. I was just jinxing you. I lost my ass on Monday night. Had a bunch of props that missed too. RJ and Larry up 14 plus units over the last like 20 plus bets.
All right, let's move away from RJ. RJ, you said I had a decent week. Let's get to you.
What about him?
You. I'm talking about your pick.
Oh, I went 3-4. Sorry. Boo! I'm on a cold streak right now. If you look at the overall standings, RJ 18-9. Woo! Pete 14-12. I'm 13-18. It's because I put in 9 bets 2 weeks ago. That was just hubris. I thought I was just feeling it. Put them in there, go like 2-7, and now I gotta fight my way out of this hole. The can't lose parlay lost again. It's 0-4 now in the season. It actually went 1-2. The Dolphins were a terrible bet.
You should have just parlayed all RJ's picks. You would have had a winner.
Yes,
you would have. 5 of them at least. You're not going to parlay that teaser, but 5 of them, yeah.
Five of them.
Vikings lost outright at +2, and the Packers, of course, covered against the lowly Steelers. Let's dive into our best bets now, and we start with that Sunday night football game that I mentioned. And by the way, this YouTube is actually going to drop. People are wondering, if you're watching on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, leave your best bet in the comments, and if you get on a hot streak, maybe we'll figure out some way to give somebody something. But this YouTube actually won't drop till Friday morning now, so if you're wondering why it didn't come out on Thursday night, that's why. Anywho, Bills and Chiefs. Chiefs minus 2.5. The over under 56.5. This is, for all the hype, Pete, that came about with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, this is a much better and more exciting game relative to the full schedule of the season, and probably will or could very likely end up determining who gets the number one seed, a bye, and home field advantage throughout the playoffs in the AFC.
Well, and it'd be big because Andy Reid and the Chiefs haven't won a road playoff game, and neither has Sean McDermott. And so I think that's big for whoever gets this game. And I think Buffalo's the real deal. I love their defense. You know, they drafted and with every eye on Patrick Mahomes. They saw what the Bucs did in the Super Bowl. They couldn't do it. They only had two sacks against him in two games last year. And I think their pressure is going to get to him a little bit in this game. You know, with Russo and Basham, and those guys have really added to their pass rush. Epines is playing well. And I think that the Chiefs defense is a mess right now. So I think Josh Allen will win a shootout. I like the points, but I think the Bills win the game outright. I'm taking Buffalo.
Love hearing that from Pete. I agree with him. Buffalo's offense still doesn't look at last year's level, but they haven't needed to be. His defense has been so dominant. And that Chiefs defense continues to look terrible. They're allowing a league-worst 3.34 points per drive, while Buffalo's at 0.79. So that's the difference in the game right there, is how these defenses are playing. KC played three possible playoff teams to start, but they also gave up 461 yards to the Eagles, too, who are, you know, down some offensive linemen. So I don't know that they're going to stop the Buffalo in this one. You know, Buffalo should have no issues putting up points against this unit. I don't know that KC's going to match them. I have Buffalo as the number one team in my power ratings, so I love getting points with them. You can see it's Kansas City's -2.5, -120 on Caesars right now. So I got it in at 3 at Monday morning for Buffalo at +3. If you like Buffalo, I'd wait to get them there. For the purposes of our podcast, this is at 2.5. I'm going to put them in one of my teasers. I have two teasers, one on spreads, one on totals. So I'm teasing Buffalo up to +8.5. I don't know how they don't cover that with their, you know, the best team in the league, even in a tough road environment here. So I got Buffalo as part of my teaser.
You know, I like the Chiefs here. And I mean, that's not to say that, I mean, honestly, look, this is Sunday Night Football. You know, again, I always point out that maybe you'll bet it. Maybe, you know, I mean, depends on where you are relative to your bankroll for that week. But it wouldn't shock me if the Bills won at all. I mean, you know, I don't get me wrong. I mean, I think the Bills are a really, really good team. I'm just not sure that Buffalo has, you know, necessarily gone against a murderer's row quite yet. And this is going to be a tough test. And there is a, you know, we saw the Ravens, you know, look, the Bills, there's a David and Goliath factor, or like the Pistons, the 80 Pistons. I don't know if it's David Goliath. Maybe it's like the 80 Pistons versus Michael Jordan. Like, can Josh Allen overcome the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid? You know, can Sean McDermott overcome Andy Reid? Can Josh Allen overcome Patrick Mahomes? I think that's kind of the big narrative. At 2.5, I would lean towards the Chiefs. The Bills defense first to DVOA. I get it. They're very good. I'm not going to take anything here as a best bet. I would also lean towards the over. It's a ton of points. I just don't think you can get in front of this on the under because of the explosion that these two offenses have. And the, you know, I mean, you could say that the Bills are a great defense, but good luck slowing down the Chiefs. And I think this profiles as a big time Steph Diggs game. So no best bet for me, but I would take the Chiefs in this spot if I was picking the game. Giants at Cowboys. Spicy little game here. The Cowboys -7. The over-under is 52. Saquon Barkley and Zeke Elliott both been pretty good lately. Zeke 17.7 rushes, 103 yards per game, 5.8 carries per or yards per carry, excuse me, 4 touchdowns in his last 3 games. And Saquon had 126 scrimmage yards and 2 touchdowns versus the Saints. But Pete, more importantly, your boy, Daniel Jones, Danny Dimes, might be playing the best football of his career. Does it continue against the Cowboys?
Yeah, I think he's going to play well in this game. I think that the Giants, even though it's consecutive road games and they beat the Saints last week, they have, you know, when they get everybody back healthy, that's going to be a good offense. And the biggest difference with the Giants is the offensive line. You know, Andrew Thomas was a disaster last year. He's playing good football now. You know, the guards are playing better. The whole group across the board is much better. And therefore, I think they're going to be able to score on Dallas. I know Dallas's defense has done some really good things. And you know, Dan Quinn's done a great job with him. But I think this is a game where both offenses will get their points in this game. And so if you're going to give me a touchdown, I'll take the Giants, even though I hate consecutive road games, but I'm taking the Giants in this division game +7. That's one of my best bets.
If I'm going by power ratings, I think this line's too low. I think the Cowboys should be favored by probably 9. A look ahead was 8.5. The Giants win dropped it down. I don't think, you know, it adjusted any for the Cowboys because they look good too. So, you know, when a bad team wins a game, you know, it might be a good time to fade them if they're adjusting the line down. I mean, Giants, you know, the offense has done some good things. They were down 21-10 in the fourth quarter. And so this line move is really based on what they did in the on half a quarter and an overtime. So, you know, you kind of like playing against bad teams in the spot, but I am a little worried about the backdoor cover. And Dallas's offense broke through in the second half against the Carolina defense, had the game wrapped up in the fourth quarter, but they did give up some points on the end. And I think Daniel Jones certainly is going to make plays with his legs here. So, you know, they could get through the back door. So rather than lay the 7 here, I'm going to put that as my second part of my teaser with Buffalo. Tease Dallas down to -1. So I got Buffalo +8.5, Dallas -1 in the tease.
Mm, I like that teaser. Cause it's, I mean, it's, you know, it can certainly happen where, you know, the Giants win outright or the Bills get blown out, but those two outcomes feel unlikely based on, you know, the ability of those two offenses that you're betting on. And the Dallas defense is much improved. There was, I don't want to call anybody out by name, but there was a media member who tried to roast Micah Parsons for his coverage skills. And he immediately got roasted by Micah Parsons, who, I mean, look, let me ask you guys this. And I don't have a best bet on this game. I have the Giants +7 as what I would bet on as in my picks. Do you think that right now Micah Parsons +400 or better is a good value for Defensive Rookie of the Year? I feel like it really is.
I'm not going to say anything because last time I said somebody was good value, he went out for the year and J.C. Horn.
That's right.
That's mushed them.
And now Patrick Surtain's dealing with a chest injury. So, I mean, if that hampers him and he can't play, you know, more than what, 12, 13 games. And then maybe it does open up for Parsons there. So the guy's that low in such a wide ranging thing where there's so many candidates. I mean, +400 doesn't really seem like good value no matter what, but you know, you could see a high tackle guy coming in and cleaning up there, but you know, the popularity is there. If that defense ends the year on a good note, you know, he's going to have some backers there and Trayvon Diggs is going to have some backers for player of the year.
I mean, if Parsons plays 17 games or 16 games or whatever, you know, whatever they end up needing based on their standings, and the Cowboys defense is averaged anywhere like around average, just a little below average, just a little above average, I think he rolls with this award just because of he's putting up the stats. He's on a visible team. Once when the Cowboys start rolling, everybody sort of forgets that they hate, you know, like everybody kind of falls back in love. It's like, I don't know, Cowboys are kind of fun again. Like I find myself rooting for the Cowboys for some insane reason. So I think that's pretty good value. Daniel Jones over rush yards, absolutely a prop to look for here. As Pete mentioned, the offensive line's playing better. The Cowboys struggle to contain Sam Darnold, the league leader in rushing touchdowns last week. And Daniel Jones is using his legs more. I don't know that they're necessarily doing as many design runs as you'd like to see, but he's certainly involved there. And he should be able to get loose against this defense. So that's a prop I'll be looking to take in this particular game. Eagles, speaking of Sam Darnold and the those rushing touchdowns. Eagles at the Panthers. Panthers -3.5 over under 45. Some interesting, before we actually get to the game. So Christian McCaffrey was back at practice on Wednesday, which is shocking because when he suffered the injury against the Texans on that Thursday night, they ruled him out so fast it felt like it might be season ending and maybe it turns out he just misses a couple weeks. Meanwhile, Shaq Thompson is out for this game, but the Panthers, Pete, traded for Stephon Gilmore for a 6th-round pick. What were your thoughts on that deal when it went down?
Well, for a 6th-round pick, it's a good deal, but he wasn't Stephon Gilmore last year. And somebody's got to get that out of their heads. He was not the same player last year. He didn't play that well. And in talking to guys around the league, they thought he was disinterested. They thought he cares more about the money, which that's not fixed in Carolina, is it? Is he, you know, they haven't?
No, they said that, I believe Scott Fitterer, the GM, said that the plan was he would play out his contract and then they would be open to an extension.
Right. So he's not getting the extension that he wanted and he's coming off an injury. So let's see. You know, sometimes it's, you know, what is he now? 30, he'll be 32. Names isn't necessarily what you want over games. And so I think his game was off a little bit last year. No, it was a bad team and sometimes guys do that, but I got to see more now that he's in Carolina, see what he does.
Okay. What about this game in particular, though, RJ? I know that you are I believe you're on the same page as I am. I looked at this. And by the way, your lines may differ from what we talk about on the podcast because they change throughout the week, obviously, especially as we get closer to the end. You know, they move quickly early. They move quickly late. I was trying to look at this game and figure out a way to talk myself into the Eagles against the spread, and I couldn't do it. I mean, Philly has gotten smoked the last two games. And I realize that they're playing, that they played the Chiefs and the Cowboys, but they gave up 83 points in the last 2 weeks, including 180 rush yards per game in those two matchups, and allowed a 68.2% third down conversion rate. That is outrageous. I know the Panthers aren't the Cowboys or the Chiefs, RJ, but they're still a pretty good offense, and they have much better defenses than both those teams, I believe.
Yeah, it's interesting that the market likes Philly so much and that it's moving toward Philly. I mean, part of that might be the Shaq Thompson injury, but, you know, it was 4, and then it got down to 3.5, and that's where we're picking it at. I have Carolina as a best bet at 3.5, but we're looking at the numbers now, it's at 3. So if you can get 3, I'd go run out and get Carolina, I think. They predictably took a step back in a tough matchup against Dallas, but they're going to be better moving forward. Rush D fell apart against Dallas. Philly doesn't run much. They're 25th in attempts, despite being number one in yards per attempt. So that's just not their game. They don't want to pound the ball with a run. So I don't expect a lot of that here. Philly made some bad decisions to kick field goals. I mean, when you're playing the Chiefs, you got to think that those short field goals aren't going to cut it. So I don't know what that seems like a coaching mistake to me. You didn't come in with the right game plan there if you're going to settle for those field goals down there. Defense looked terrible for a second straight week. They can't get any stops at all. I mean, some of that's playing Kansas City, playing Dallas, but you know, you got to get at least a few stops here. Philly's also at Tampa Bay on Thursday next week. So is that going to, you know, work into Sirianni's prep, and will he be 100% focused, or will he have an eye toward the short week? You know, these offenses, I think, are neck and neck between Philly and the Panthers behind Lamar Darnold, as you were talking about, just can't stop him running the ball, apparently. And so they're pretty close in points per drive, but Carolina's defense is way better in that metric than Philly. So I think Carolina is a better team. Only having to lay 3 here, I love it. But, you know, for our lines, we're taking 3.5. So I got Carolina's a best bet at 3.5.
Yeah, I like the Eagles, and I don't love them as at 3.5, but I'm going to put them in a teaser and take 9.5. I just think that the way their offense is playing, they'll move the football. Thompson's injury is interesting. They're obviously concerned on the corner. They went out and made 2 moves in the last 2 weeks. So I think Hurts is playing good football, and, you know, they got garbage time offense last week a little bit too, the Panthers. So I'll take the Eagles as the first part of my teaser this week. So I'll take Eagles plus 9.5.
Yeah. The one thing that concerned me about, and I mean, you know, I was looking for a reason to take the Eagles, is that if you watch that Chiefs game, it felt like the Eagles were going to cover the whole time. And then they just kept giving up these massive plays on the back end, like in the fourth quarter.
Well, they had 2 touchdowns called back.
Yeah. I mean, they were saying like the Chiefs had that kind of fluky third touchdown to Tyreek Hill, where it was Mahomes bombed it up in the air and he catches it. And I just think that the Panthers are a better team. And I worry about the Panthers' offensive line, but Joe Brady's done a really good job of getting Sam Darnold, using his legs, you know, getting him out away from the pressure. And I think they can mitigate what Philly will bring against him. The Panthers' weapons are really dangerous. They're looking good. I think they can attack that Eagles secondary. And while Jalen Hurts is playing pretty good football, man. I mean, I don't know that they're locked in on Hurts as the future of the franchise, but I certainly think he's giving them pause and making them think about it, even though they're going to have 3 top 15 picks at the current rate that they're going. I just think the Panthers are the better team. And if you're giving me, if I only have to lay 3, I will take them here. By the way, Devontae Smith, first Eagles rookie with 10 targets, 5 catches, and 120 receiving yards in franchise history. That game against KC. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Saints -2 at the Washington football team. Over under 44.5. The Saints are 21-5 in road games since the start of 2018, tied with the best record along with the Chiefs. And Washington hasn't won back-to-back home games since October of 2018. So what gives here, Pete? Does Sean Payton bounce back from a loss? By the way, the Saints offense sucks and Sean Payton's offense sucks and Ron Rivera's defense sucks. What kind of weird, twisted world are we living in?
Look, I love Sean Payton as an offensive play caller. I really do. But and he got his 2 touchdowns from the gimmick last week. But Jameis Winston throws a 60-yard touchdown pass and it's called back for a holding penalty. On the very next play, he puts in Taysom Hill and he throws an interception. What the hell was that? Did you see that?
That was bad, yeah.
It was terrible. And then he had an excuse for why he threw the interception. They're not great on offense. Washington's been awful on defense. I think they're going to play this week. Call me crazy. The talent is there. They're too good to not be that better on defense. And I think this is an opportunity for them to show up. I don't think offensively the Saints are very good. Heineke's been good, but he's been in scramble mode. And so it's hard to evaluate what he's doing. But I'll take the under in this game. And I'm also going to take the Washington football team as well in my teaser on the other side of it. So I'll take Washington plus 8 to go with the Eagles plus 9.5.
Despite the score, the Saints offense actually had their best game against the Giants. The D just fell apart at the end. Despite that, like, what are you doing not throwing to Alvin Kamara? I mean, how do you have Alvin Kamara on your team and you don't throw him the ball even in one game? So that was weird. That Washington defense has been shockingly bad. Maybe they do show up, but I've counted on that the last couple of weeks and it hasn't happened. So I'm kind of done counting on that. I think the New Orleans offense can put up points here. Washington's offense has been pretty good, but inconsistent. They'll be down Brandon Scherff, probably Logan Thomas also. Two big pieces of that offense.
I believe Logan Thomas was put on IR, actually, so he's definitely out.
Okay, yeah. So I knew Scherff was out, and then I just figured 99% Thomas would be out. On third downs, Washington offense is 31st in success rate, 30.2% conversion, and Washington defense is 32nd in success rate, giving up nearly 60%. So that's kind of where the issues were Washington, you know, start and end, or probably not end, but that's where they start right there. So by next week for New Orleans, I expect them to come out firing, focused after a loss against a team they shouldn't have lost to. I think they'll get a win. I would lean to the Saints minus 2. Don't like that it's creeping up, you know, but 2 is a pretty good number. I think you can probably play it at 2. I saw it get it to 2.5 earlier in the week, probably kind of staying away at that point, but 2, I think you're good.
Yeah, Logan Thomas on the reserve injured list. And they signed Jay Sternberger, but I don't know how much of a factor Sternberger will play in that first week. I lean Washington here, but I don't really feel good about it. The Brandon Scherff injury is absolutely concerning. Taylor Heineke's playing pretty good football, but I mean, it's hard to separate like somebody's performance versus did they play the Atlanta Falcons defense? Because everyone has looked awesome against the Atlanta Falcons. And then you come back a week later and don't look quite as good. One of the weirdest things is Alvin Kamara. It's like they're funneling this average rush offense through Alvin Kamara, who has 26 carries last week. I believe that's a career high. 4 of 6 career games with 20 plus rushes have come in the last 6 games for him. And he didn't have a catch last week. It's just very bizarre how this offense is just kind of morphed into meh. So I'll take Washington here, but I don't feel good about it. It certainly wouldn't be a best bet. I'm trying to have a lighter card this week. Broncos, speaking of offenses that suck, have you guys ever seen did we talk about this last week? The South Park movie? South Park the movie?
We did.
So I should make the joke again, is what you're saying.
Definitely. No, don't.
Blame Canada. It never gets old for me. Anyway. Broncos at Steelers. Steelers at -1, over under 39.5. Big Ben Roethlisberger at his last 9 starts, 2-7, 6.1 yards per pass attempt, 16 touchdown, 12 interception. The Steelers have also gone 10 games without rushing for 100 yards, and the rat ship business has started because there's an article from Jerry Dulac in, I think it's the Post-Gazette where he works, or one of the Pittsburgh papers, and he wrote that Big Ben is what was the word hampered or hamstrung. Big Ben is being hamstrung by Matt Canada and Mike Tomlin. Do you buy or sell the Steelers beat writer narrative that Big Ben's getting a raw deal here, Pete?
No, it's hard to play quarterback in this league when your line's so bad. I mean, they've been bad, and he doesn't really have a lot of speed on the outside.
Did you read what he said that they've taken away Big Ben's freedom to audible at any point during the game.
Matt Canada hasn't exactly been very good.
Matt Canada falls upwards everywhere he goes. It's crazy. He's just not.
It's amazing. And so I like the Steelers in this game. I know that sounds crazy. I just think defensively they're going to show up. This is a save the season or try to save the season type of game for them. I know history says the Broncos have had success against them, against the number. And so I'm a little scared with it. But I just think that the Steelers defense is a bunch of good players that will show up and make plays. We'll get a couple turnovers. I love the Steelers as one of my best bets. I also like the under. I know that RJ's in on that, but I like the under as well.
How low is this total going to get? I mean, Bridgewater dealing with concussion. Big Ben has that hip issue. I know that there's probably some optimism Bridgewater plays, which is why this is down to pick them. And, you know, when it was Steelers -1, they need Bridgewater to play because the Broncos punted 10 times in their first 11 drives on Sunday. The defense was pretty solid. under those circumstances, you know, having to hold the Ravens. So I think it was 23 or 26 points. Pittsburgh's offense continues to be awful. I mean, I don't know how there's going to be any points in this one. So I think Pete's right. I typically don't love teasing totals because the 6 points you tease there aren't worth as much with, you know, 40 when you're working with 45 as opposed to a spread that's around 6, 7, 4, whatever it is. But this is one I like teasing up, getting into 45.5 and taking the under. So I have a totals teaser this week, and one of them is this game going under 45.5. So that's how I'm playing it.
I like the Steelers as well. It is such a perfect contrarian play because no one wants to bet on the Steelers. Everyone hates the Steelers right now. Everybody's piling on Big Ben. He's the butt of jokes. You know, nobody believes that they can, you know, figure out a way to get this offense right. And not a great get right spot against a Broncos defense that has been, you know, top tier in the league this year, but the Broncos against the Jets, Jags, and Giants gave up 8.7 points per game and 222 yards. And against the Ravens last week, 23 points and 406 yards allowed. I think even more so for Ben than when he starts talking about how he's injured and all that, he gets going when, you know, it's time to kick an OC under the bus. Like that gets Ben motivated where when those articles start coming out, maybe long-term it's going to be a problem. Short-term, I think we get a good performance from Ben Roethlisberger. And while I find Drew Lock's upside intriguing, he is a turnover machine and the Steelers can put a ton of pressure on him. TJ Watt should be good to go. And that should mean turnovers galore. I'm fine with the under two. It's a tiny total, 39.5, but I don't hate it. I
so
like
is that in the parlay? Spot. Is the
start a parlay with the under? Did we miss anything else that we could have been a good deal?
I don't think so.
I don't think so, right?
No. By the way, Jerry ought to thank Ben for giving him that story.
Oh yeah, I was clearly leaked.
It's right out of his mouth.
Oh, it's straight from BigBen7.com. It's got typed in there.
I've known Jerry for a long time, and Jerry's a good beat guy, but he got that from Ben.
Yeah, no kidding. Yes, when they're bashing the coach in the OC and talking about how Ben's hamstrung, and like it's like no, the only thing hamstrung is like the hamstring they used to reattach Ben Roethlisberger's right elbow, which before it fell off. All right, Colts at Ravens. Ravens are -7. The over-under is 46. Carson Wentz, a little sign of life last week, dragging the Colts up from a winless squad to a single win team with a dominant victory over the Dolphins. The Ravens, you know, Lamar Jackson, Pete, has actually been really good as a passer this year, hadn't he?
He's been really good. Yeah, if it wasn't for a couple drops in the Lions game, he'd have really good numbers. I mean, Marquise Brown dropped a bunch, but this is a great spot for the Ravens. You're home after 2 weeks on the road, playing a team that's playing not back-to-back road games, but back-to-back-to-back road games, and they're not that good anyways. I think the Ravens are the better team. I don't like the giant number, but this situation plays out for me in that way. I'll take the Ravens -7. One of my best bets.
Yeah, I was leaning that way too. I didn't put it in as a best bet. Indy's score last week was a little inflated. Miami had some miscues deep in their own territory, kind of gave them, say, free 2 field goals. Indy couldn't really do anything once they got the ball there, so they just kicked field goals. Baltimore's East rolling, back-to-back excellent games on the road. Baltimore's pass offense does look strong. I agree, impressive day against a quality Broncos defense. And Indy should improve once they start getting healthier, but I don't know that that's happening in this game. And Baltimore's just too strong to fade here. I think it might come down to 6.5. Look to play Baltimore at that point at 7. It's just a lean for me, but I would play it at 6.5.
Yeah, I like the Ravens in the spot as well. We'll probably bet it on Monday. We'll have the gambling preview with Sully on Monday that you can listen to in the podcast feed. But, I mean, if I was betting it right now, I would take the Ravens. I did in my picks column, but I don't have a best bet on this game. All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, who wins? Can Urban Meyer pick his first win? He's had a very calm week. Can he punctuate it? Can he grind his way to a victory on Sunday? We'll find out.
I'm Trey Wingo. And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler!
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's
the
butterfly effect
for real. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
We mentioned the Urban Meyer Bowl. Before we get there, we are going to circle back to that Ravens game. RJ and I were chatting during the break. You know, we have like a cool down. We have a little cup of coffee while you're listening to those commercials and whatnot. We decided we're going to add the Ravens, Pete, as one of our best bets
like
in the parlay.
Like it. Okay, good.
What a piece bet. Pete's best bets. RJ and I both lean towards the Ravens, so we'll add that. So we have Steelers under and Ravens minus -7 over the Colts to the Urban Meyer Bowl. Some stunning numbers from these Titans players against the Jaguars. Derrick Henry's last five games with the Jags, 148 rush yards per game. I mean, what the hell? 7.1 yards per carry and 9 rushing touchdowns. Not consistent games, some spikes and ups and downs. Ryan Tannehill versus the Jags since joining Tennessee, 3-0, 77.3% completion, 10.8 yards per attempt, 8 touchdowns, no interception. The Jaguars have lost 19 straight games. A loss would make them just the second team in NFL history to lose 20 games in a row, and they only trail the 76-77 Buccaneers. But, Pete, I don't care about your pick
on
this game.
That's not true, though, because didn't the 42 Cardinals combination team lose 26 in a row or 20?
I believe it's the Super Bowl era.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Those of us who are not, we're not born in 1922.
Well, no, because on the other day on the radio show in Jacksonville, I said I actually covered that 42 team. And one game, the coach decided he didn't want to take the train back with the team, so he stayed behind at a speakeasy. That's
right. That's pretty good, Pete. All right, so before, I don't even care about this game. I mean, I care about the game, obviously, and we'll give out a pick, but I am curious what you think about this Urban Meyer situation. And I know you don't – I mean, do you care about him coming back with the team? Do you care
Yes, okay. Come back with the team. I mean, you have
to – take your private jet back to Ohio and see your grandkids or fly your grandkids to Florida.
And somebody there up in the building up there said if he would have asked Khan to go back to Ohio, he would have given him the private jet. So – and he could see the grandkids the night before the game, by the way. You could see him after the game. Before the game, there were look, go home with your team. You lost
or you could actually not spend your time with your grandkids and instead go out to your restaurant and hang out and do whatever you do at said restaurant.
It's just a constant bad look for this guy across the board. And Khan issued that statement. He's not going to fire him because clearly he doesn't have cause yet. And I think they'd try and work out a deal where maybe Urban would take some kind of payment to walk off into the sunset. It's just a bad look. You lost the trust of your players. You're done.
Do you think, I mean, I know like Mike Silver reported that there were people laughing in the locker room. I think that's almost like they're laughing at Urban. They're laughing at Urban trying to, he's like, you know, they tried to pull me on the dance floor and I just couldn't get
away.
He
lied. He lied. Come clean. You lied. And let's take the morality part out of it. That's between him and his family. I'm just talking about from a football standpoint. You lied. You didn't go back with your team and then you lied. It's just bad luck.
Do you think that Urban ends up coaching out the full season?
No, I do not.
Wow. If
he's, let's put it this way. The building is the guys I talked to in that building. It's just that it's when Coughlin was there in his first year, people were scared, just scared out of doing anything. Same way with Urban. Coaches that were there in the past are usually gregarious and outgoing. Now put their head down and walk. I mean, it's just bad.
Wow. Okay. And well, with that in mind, Titans.
No, I'm not taking that team. No way. And they're getting better, but this is a bad matchup. Had the Titans won last week against the Jets, maybe and their offensive line is a mess. But the history in this series, I mean, you could date this thing all the way back to when I used to cover the team. The Titans just beat them up, and lately they've really beaten them up. So I know the Jaguars' run defense has been better, but I just don't see them winning this game. I think I'll take the Titans minus the 4.5. I don't love it, but that's where I would lean.
I'm leaning that way too. I actually liked it at 4, but 4.5 I'm off of that. I dropped off the look ahead of Tennessee -7 because Tennessee lost. But Jacksonville doesn't have the defense that the Jets do, and they don't have the coaching staff in place, obviously, that the Jets do. Really big believer in Robert Saleh, and complete opposite on Urban Meyer. You talk about, is he going to be out of there by the end of the season? You got the holidays coming up, so you got to see the grandkids during Thanksgiving, got to see the grandkids during Christmas. I mean, he's not going to have time to coach his team. Players aren't going to play hard for Urban right now. It remains to be seen whether they'll play hard for each other. But I just think if things go wrong in a football game and Urban tries to tell him how to do things to fix things, I mean, you're not going to really listen to that guy at this point. It's kind of obvious based on what's happening in that locker room. I think Derrick Henry might get 300 yards in this game. I would have been worried about a backdoor cover at 7 with this Tennessee defense. I'm less so if you can get it at 4. So late if you get it at 4, especially with Brown getting limited practice early in the week. Looks like he's going to be able to play. I think no way you can touch Jaguars at this point.
One quick thing too, when he released CJ Henderson, he came out and said he called CJ Henderson. He had a nice chat with CJ Henderson's parents. What? So what, are you kidding me? I just
didn't even draft him.
I hope if I have a bad day at the office, Port doesn't call my dad.
Hey, Mr. Brinson, I don't know if you know this. Will at 5-10 against a spread again. I just wanted to 5-11 again.
I mean, they're grown men. We're grown men. They're grown men. Let them deal with the parents.
I guess they went to Florida, so maybe they're. I don't know.
I don't care where he went, how he knows them. No, you don't call the parents.
How about you don't call my parents? How about nobody ever call my parents, okay? Unless I'm in the hospital and need emergency contact situation. And even then, just call my wife or call my son, call my mother.
Hey, you're a man. Sometimes you are.
At any rate, so I was looking at this game and I tried to talk myself into the Jags. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. Because I do think the Jags defense profiles a little similarly to the Jets in the sense that the Jags are okay against the run. And I could see them. Do we think Julio Jones and A.J. Brown are playing? It feels like they've been upgraded a little bit where they might be able to go.
A.J. Brown sounds like he's more advanced than Julio right now.
Yeah.
He was back at practice limited on Wednesday. Those type of guys, you figure they play,
Yeah, I would think so. But, I mean, I was worried that what would happen is the Titans come out and do what they did against the Jets, which is pound the ball with Derrick Henry, can't get it going, and then it ends up with a huge stat line, but it was all like these late runs when they were – I mean, maybe it softens up the defense. But, again, like if you're a Jaguars player, are you – I know nobody's going to quit because you got to earn that paycheck and you're trying to get paid later on. But I mean, you're not going out there giving it your all for Urban, it feels like a smash spot for Tennessee. So I will absolutely take the Titans here. But not
so should we put the Titans in the parlay then?
I don't
think we all like them.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with parlaying Derrick Henry over whatever rushing yards. He's going to open at like 128 or something. And
Caesars gets odds up insanely early for these props. It's almost kind of annoying because Adiva says no Henry yet. Maybe it's like Thursday afternoon they get him up. Weird.
They got to see if Urban Meyer does anything awful in the next 24 hours before they put
him on. They don't. So they have they have Jaguars props up. They don't have any Titans props up. I assume that's about Julio and AJ Brown
availability. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause like if you have Julio and AJ Brown, the number for Henry will just be lower, but and if Tannehill, so that's probably why. So we'll see I'm just going to check one more spot while we're looking at it, but let's add that as the third leg of our parlay. Titans -4.5 Packers -3 at the Bengals. Stanky cheese line here. Bengals only getting 3 against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, over under 51. Green Bay is looking to start 4-1 for the third straight year. That would be the second time in franchise history that they've done that. It's 1960 to 1963, the last time. Of course, Pete, those were your first midlife crisis watching the 1960s Packers.
I was a baby then. Like, seriously, I was 2 years old, and I still knew more about football than you do now.
Whoa! Oh!
That's pretty good. Jim Furrow, Pete's feeling frisky today. What, you got a colonoscopy later or something?
No, not that I know of.
Joe Burrow currently leads the NFL in third down completion percentage at 73.5. Can Joe Burrow? I mean, I'm telling you, Pete, this number's, I get it. They'd be Packers minus -9 at home, but something just smells. This line's a little short for me.
It does smell. It really smells. I think the fish hook is out there, and I'm an idiot that took the Packers on our, in our picks. I don't love it as a best bet, but I just think you look at this line, something's up. And I like the Bengals. I think the Bengals are moving in the right direction. But I take the Packers just because I'm taking Rodgers in this situation. I just think he'll be able to have some shots down the field. I do not love it, though. Just like you said, it looks really fishy.
Yeah, here's what's up. The Bengals defense is good, but they played a lot of mediocre offenses with bad offensive lines. But I don't know that we can rule Packers out from having a bad offensive line, especially on the right side. They got those two rookies and Billy Turner out there. Green Bay scoring points, but their yards per play is down more than a full yard from last year, ranked 22nd in that metric. And that Joe Mixon injury, it would be a problem most weeks. I think it might actually make them better, because they will have to throw more. They have 30th in pass attempts, and they'll be playing Green Bay secondaries probably without Jair Alexander. You get T. Higgins back, I want you to throw on that team as much as possible, especially when you're up against Aaron Rodgers. So road interconference game feels like a letdown spot for the Packers. First of four road games in 5 weeks for them. So they have a tough schedule coming up in terms of travel. I got the Bengals as a best bet. I think +3 is a good number to get them in on. I don't think it's going to get any lower or any higher than that. So I'm on the Bengals +3.
I love the Bengals +3. In fact, I think the Bengals are, I picked them to win this game outright. Yeah, baby, that's right. Bengals win it outright. It's probably a bit of a long shot, but the Packers, Jair Alexander's a huge factor for the Packers. And when you look at what Cincinnati's getting back, one, Joe Mixon ain't going. When Joe Mixon isn't out there for Cincinnati, they're way more aggressive in terms of passing on early downs. They're way more efficient because they're not trying to force feed Mixon the ball on these early downs and run it with him. So I think that plays into it's like accidental genius move for Zach Taylor. Is they're going to be slinging the ball around. They get T. Higgins back. So now you have Higgins, you have Jamar Chase, who's not going to be covered by Jair Alexander, and you have Tyler Boyd, who's playing some really good football. Cincinnati's going to put up some points in this one, and I think they can beat Aaron Rodgers, who just doesn't have a – he said this offseason he doesn't play well in Cincinnati for some bizarre reason. Maybe he eats a bunch of spaghetti with chili on top of it. Who knows? I will take
the seven way or whatever they do it where they put chili. It's so gross.
I will take the Bengals. I like the Bengals, but my best bet is actually the over 50.5. Cincinnati's rush defense is good, and you can throw on them a little bit. I think we see a lot of pass attempts, a lot of scoring in this game. So give me the over. Dolphins at the Bucks. Bucks minus -10 over under 48. Jacoby Brissett is, we'll call it former. As I swivel to block this, the helmet behind me, former Florida quarterback Jacoby Brissett is struggling out there right now on the road. This last six games, 0-6, 58% completion, 163.5 yards per game, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions somehow. The Dolphins offensive line is a sieve. Like, they're just getting destroyed this year. They have given up pressures on 38% of dropbacks, second worst in the NFL, and their defense has flipped too. It's gone from first in the NFL on third downs to 31st in the NFL on third downs in terms of conversion percentage for opponents. They also have gone from 6th in the NFL in points to 25th. Is this a letdown spot, though, Pete, for Tom Brady?
Did you say a sieve?
Sieve? What did I mean?
Sieve.
Sieve. Did I say sieve? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pete, is this a letdown spot for Tom Brady?
No, it is not. It's a get home and get right game because they didn't play that well on the road. And I think when you look at Jacoby Brissett, he was awful last week. Their line is bad. I think the mismatch here is the Tampa Bay defensive line against that offensive line. They'll create turnovers. I would lean to Tampa Bay. I didn't make it a best bet.
Tampa, with those cornerback injuries, they're going to give up some yards, give up some points. You worry about that. But you need to protect, the quarterback. And Miami offense can't protect Brissett. So good luck against the pass rush. When you have that pass rush, it minimizes the issue you have at cornerback. So Miami could be 0-4. They're 1-3. They got outplayed in that 1-point win against the Pats. The defense couldn't stop Indy at all last week, despite, hobbled Carson Wentz going around. So I don't think this is a letdown spot for Tampa coming off that New England game. Thursday night matchup next. I think they come out firing here. I don't see how Miami stops them at all. Miami hasn't topped 200 net passing yards yet, despite ranking 11th in pass attempts. They throw the ball a lot, and they cannot get any yards out of it. So certainly feels like a 34-13 type of game to me. I got Buccaneers minus 10 as a best bet, even with all those points.
I kind of like the Dolphins just in the letdown spot. And, I mean, RJ scares me here. The Buccaneers, the Dolphins are terrible. The Dolphins were a 10-win paper tiger fraud last year, and they're just not good this season. And especially without Tua out there, not that he was like incredible, but you know, Jacoby Brissett clearly a problem. I don't want to touch this game, but I picked the Dolphins against the spread. I'm hoping they will just come through the back door for our picks on the site. Patriots minus 9 at the Texans, over under 39.5. Oh my goodness, what a scorcher this is going to be. The Pats last started 1-3 in 2001, so maybe they'll go on to win the Super Bowl this year. The Texans have scored 9 points with Davis Mills, your sleeper quarterback, Pete.
Well, I don't care who's playing now with that team. They're not playing good quarterback. But again, now it's his third game. He's at home. They got ambushed last week at Buffalo. That Buffalo defense got all over him. I don't love this game, but I would lean to the Texans. I'm taking 9. I just, you know, everybody's all over Mac Jones. He's a dink and dunker. And if there was a good corner playing on the right corner the other night, Pierre Desir couldn't get close to a ball that was up in the air for about a week. It would have been a pick 6 with any other corner. So I think this is one of those situations where the game is close. Both teams are ugly. Both teams struggle to score. I would take the Texans plus the points.
Yeah, I don't think you can lay 9 points with the Pats on the road, even against such a bad opponent, especially coming off Brady week. Who knows where the head's at? It could also be down the left side of the line with Wynn and Wanu on COVID list. So that's an issue there for scoring a lot of points. Houston had no drives longer than 12 yards last week until their last two, and both those last two ended in picks and weren't very long anyway. So I'm not going to play this spread, but this is going to be the other half of my totals teaser. I'm going to tease a total up over 45 to 45.5 and take the under against the Fighting Davis Millses. As you said, they're hardly scoring any points. So, give me that with the Denver-Pittsburgh under as my teaser.
Too slop fest. I have the under this game as a best bet. And, Pete, you're right about Mac Jones. He is averaging 9 yards per completion. That is the second lowest in the NFL. Jacoby Brissett's like 7.4 or something insane. Davis Mills only at 9.4 yards per completion as well. So this is just not an explosive game. I look at this game and I just see exactly what the Pats did in week 2 against the Jets, which is go on the road with your run offense. It's a Damian Harris special. You're going up against a rookie quarterback. You don't care about scoring touchdowns. I mean, you want to score touchdowns, but you don't care about scoring touchdowns. You'll take 1 touchdown and 4 field goals, and you believe you hold the Texans to 10 points or less. I think the under here, I know it's a low, low number, but you know, barring some defensive touchdowns, or they're just going to put two guys on Brandon Cooks and force him to beat them to somebody else. I mean, I think it's like Farrah Cooper is their second leading receiver with 78 yards or something insane. I mean, it's the Texans are just disgustingly bad. So give me the under as a best bet here. Browns at Chargers. Chargers minus 1.5, over under 47. What a fun 3-1 matchup between two rising AFC powerhouses. The Browns are 3-1 for the first time since Bill Belichick was their coach. They support the best run offense in football, 177 yards per game, and the third best run defense in football as well, 66.5 yards per game. The last team to do that, top 3 in both, 2017 Eagles. Very interesante. Baker Mayfield dealing with a left shoulder injury. There's a report out there. Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com reported that it had nothing to do with Baker's god-awful game against the Vikings last week, but that's hard to believe. What do you think? Is Baker right? Is he wrong? Is this where Herbert – can Herbert keep it going, Pete?
I don't like this matchup for the Chargers. I think me and Brady actually picked them to win the game, but actually took – so we think it's going to be a one-point game. We took the Browns with the points. I'm worried about – the Browns' run game against that Chargers defense. I mean, up until last week, they were gashed on the run. I mean, they were giving up 170 yards a game going into that game on Monday night. And I just think Cleveland's going to try and keep Herbert off the field by running it and running it and running it. So I would lean to the Browns in this game, plus the 1.5. I also would probably think it's going to be a lower scoring game than most people think.
Cleveland did fantastic against Minnesota. We'll see if they can win consistently against the Chargers offensive line, which has improved. Chargers pass D continues to shine. So I agree with you that Cleveland should be looking to run the ball here, especially with Mayfield's injury. Total dropped 1.5 points on Wednesday. Then we got news of Mayfield's partially torn labrum. So, you know, that's probably the reason for that. With both defenses playing well, with Cleveland's passing offense in trouble, I would take the under down to 45 at 47 right here. It's a best bet for me on the under.
I think that under is a good call too. The Brandon Staley looks like he might be an under funnel in terms of as a head coach and the defensive strategy that they're employing. The one thing that concerns me with the Chargers is they are willing, and I'm curious to see how this plays out from a sort of a chess match perspective, because they're willing to let you run on them but want to stop you in the pass. Well, the Browns are really good at running on you. Are they just going to let Chubb and Kareem Hunt go wild on the ground? That doesn't seem like an effective move. I think 47 is probably too high a number. I want to take the Chargers as the best bet, though, because basically because of Baker Mayfield's shoulder, and I believe that Brandon Staley will figure out a way to slow down that powerful rush.
By the way, Brinson, mm-hmm. Brandon Staley on Twitter this week with his the Colt went wild. Look at him. He's talking about
ridiculous.
And I'm like, okay, you want to be physical, or would you rather have a 10 play run the ball down the field drive and be physical and get 3 points, or a 2-play 75-yard shot down the field and get 7? I mean, give me a break with this. These guys all, oh, he knows. Well, look at him. He's talking about being physical. You throw to score, you run to win. It's really simple. It's a simple formula.
No, I mean, no. It's just weird because if Mike Zimmer comes out and be like, we're going to be physical, we're going to establish a run, people are like, listen to this old codger. But then Brandon Staley did a good job of articulating it in a way that but what Staley said is right, is like the run game needs to complement the pass game. But if somebody old, if Pete Carroll had said that, people would be killing him for it.
Well, he also held down his team scoring the other night. I don't care what anybody says. I didn't like their play call.
Oh, so you're just lashing out at Staley. I like it.
No, I like him. I think he's a good coach.
So, yeah. So real quick, as we're recording, Teddy Bridgewater is practicing in a limited fashion. Do we want to sub this one in for the Broncos Steelers under? Because it's such a low number. So if you guys like this under, I'm a little more comfortable with this one.
Let's sub this one in. I'll take this one.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Okay.
Yeah, this should be a low scoring game. All right, so the parlay is now Ravens -7, Titans -4.5, Browns Chargers -47. Those are the three games in the parlay. Speaking of breaking news during the middle of the podcast, Jets at Falcons. You're going to want to get the Jets +3 in now, because it's probably move a point or something like that if you like the Jets, because Calvin Ridley is not traveling to London with the Atlanta Falcons for this game. That means they are down their number one receiver in London for Atlanta. Falcons -3, Pete, over under 46.
Yeah, I don't love this game, but I would lean to the Falcons either way. But after watching the Jets, I don't like this game at all. After watching the Jets on tape this week, I love their defense. I mean, they got 5, 6, 7 young players that are going to develop into really top-notch players. And I like what Robert Saleh and Jeff Ulbricht are doing on defense. So I just worry about Zach Wilson. And yeah, he played well in the third and fourth quarter last week, got outside the pocket, made some throws. But I would probably take the Falcons. Ridley not being there concerns me, but I don't love it either way.
You got Olamide Zaccheaus, Tajay Sharp, Christian Blake, and I don't know who else is going to be the receiver for the Falcons. Cordarrelle Patterson, they're going to keep giving him 25, 30 touches.
Kyle Pitts season, baby.
So I don't think you can back the Falcons of favorites. I mean, how do you not stop McKissick at the end of the game there? I don't want to back the Jets coming off a surprising emotional first win. I don't like to back bad teams coming off wins because the spread gives them too much credit. But the spread is not giving them credit at all. I mean, the Falcons have allowed 11 pass touchdowns with no turnovers against Brady, who's good, Hurts, who's looked good, Daniel Jones and Taylor Heineke, you know, jury's still out on them. Jets D getting better. They've allowed just 2 pass touchdowns all year. Now they get the face of a severely limited group. So yeah, love the Jets. I mean, this is in London and the Falcons are laying 3. How is this team laying 3 against anyone? You know, even with if they had Calvin Ridley. I don't know why this line is the way it is. Best bet Jets +3.
Yeah, I got the Jets as a best bet too. Look, I don't want to bet on the Jets either. Jets are bad, but the Falcons are horrendous. They give a season high in points, yards per play, and first downs to Washington last week, and it was Washington's first game without a turnover this season. The Jets, by the way, this is kind of funny. The Jets had lost 26 straight games when trailing by 7 points or more before their incredible 7-point comeback against the Titans last week. they'll find a way to get, they'll put up points. The Falcons won't pressure Zach Wilson. Shots down the field to Corey Davis, starting to get a little comfortable. They're over in London way before them. And without Ridley, I mean, just lock down a Pitts and make Matt Ryan beat you with somebody else, get some pressure on him, and you can win this game. 49ers at the Cardinals. Cardinals minus 5.5, over under 50, Pete.
Yeah, I don't love this game either way. That's why I didn't make a best bet on it. But I would lean to the Cardinals. I think they're playing really good football. And you know, who plays quarterback for the Niners this week?
Trey Lance.
That would make me lean more to the Cardinals. I just think that I like what they're doing on defense. I like what they did against the Rams last week. I would take the Cardinals minus the points.
I think the price is a little inflated with Arizona as the last undefeated team with San Fran losing its quarterback. Look ahead was 2.5. I'd typically say, yeah, 3 points, maybe good for quarterback tax with Garoppolo. You know, if Shanahan is an offensive genius and he's developing this Trey Lance offense, he can come out and break this out in a key game that they have to have. You know, they don't want to fall 3 behind the Cardinals in the division or whatever they are right now. San Fran's D's have been solid. They're just not generating turnovers yet, but they're going to come. Arizona's defense has a problem stopping the run, 31st in yards per rush. You don't love that against a Kyle Shanahan team. So I expect Shanahan to open up the playbook. I would lean to San Francisco, but with it, how Arizona is playing, I don't love it. So I'm probably going to stay away this one.
I got the 49ers as a best bet. I think Trey Lance comes out. They got a game plan. They're going to put up big numbers, opening up Trey Sermon in the run game, take down the undefeated Cardinals. Give me San Francisco plus 5.5. Maybe I'm just chasing the pipe dream. That is,
you are.
That is, yeah, I might be chasing. That's fine. I still like the 49ers as the best bet. Bears at Raiders. Justin Fields is starting finally. I know he started last week, but that was just a spot start in replace of Andy Dalton. Now is the official franchise quarterback starting spot. 12.3 yards per attempt last week, Pete. And he gets the Raiders on a short week in Vegas. You like Fields to maybe surprise some? Raiders minus 5.5 here.
I don't. I think the Raiders defensive line will do what the Browns did to him a couple weeks ago. That Bears offensive line, I know they helped him last week a little bit. They're not good. He's going to struggle on the road. I think the Raiders will get back on track here. I'll take the Raiders minus the 5.5.
Yeah, Fields has 52 pass attempts and 12 sacks. And Chicago's D also has 15 sacks. So I think both these quarterbacks could get beat up a bit. Probably the under is the way you look here. Vegas' offense disappeared versus the Chargers, but they did still score 59 points first 2 weeks of the season. Two overtime games in 3 weeks caught up to them last week. Now they're playing on another short week. I think there's more variance in this one. Chicago, if they switch up the offense at all with Fields as the permanent starter, might think about it if it gets to Chicago plus 6. Right now, I'm staying away.
I like the Bears. I like the Bears to win the game. Again, maybe I'm just biased because I'm not a huge Raiders fan. I don't know. I just feel like Chicago is going to put the clamps on the Raiders offense and Justin Fields. Nagy's going to cook something up for Justin Fields in this game, and I don't think the Raiders will be prepared for it. I like the Bears to actually win the game, but I am a little nervous to make it a best bet, so I won't. Finally, Lions at Vikings. Vikings minus 9. Desperate Vikings team laying 9 points at home. Over under 49. Tons of injuries to the Lions offensive line. Dalvin Cook also banged up Pete, but he says he's just going to keep playing through it, which is not ideal.
Yeah.
On William Hill or Caesar.
I like the Vikings to bounce back here. They were terrible last week. The offensive line was awful. Lions don't really get after the quarterback that well. So I think they'll protect Kirk Cousins, and it's not a big game, so he'll play well. I'll take the Vikings minus the 9, even though I don't like laying 9 points.
The Vikings have not established themselves as a good team. Their offense was very disheartening last week. I can't lay this many points with a team that I don't think is good. They're probably going to bounce back against this defense. They're probably going to win by double digits. I can't trust them enough to lay these points. The Minnesota defense ranks 11th in scoring, but 25th in net yards per pass attempt and 28th in yards per rush. They aren't getting pressure. I mean, maybe Detroit does move the ball a little bit. But with this line moving up, I would only look to the Lions if it got to a point I was comfortable with them. And with their injuries, I'm not sure I'm going to get to that point. So I'm just staying away.
Yeah, it's probably a stay away. I initially thought Lions against the spread because they've been so frisky, and their second half numbers are really good. Jared Goff leads them through, leads them in these garbage time, you know, would be comebacks against the spread or straight up, and they managed to cover. But they're not a good team, and they are really banged up on the offensive line. And the Vikings should be desperate. You know, Vikings maybe a good survivor play. Don't know if I want to lay 9.5 with a team that is not as questionable as Minnesota. They couldn't get anything done after that first drive against the Browns last week. I do think the Vikings will cover, but I don't want to make it a best bet. All right, that'll do it for all of our games. We went that fast. It's almost like you know, I mean, I wouldn't have, like, if I were worried about how long this was taking, I certainly wouldn't have texted me and complained about it. But I mean, you know,
I got an appointment to go to. You're too wordy.
Pete's best bets for the week: Bills +2.5, Ravens -7. He's teasing the WFTs and the Eagles, 6-point teaser on those. Giants +7, Steelers -1, and the Saints WFT under 44.5.
We haven't had any 6-0s. RJ had one last week, and I'm having one this week.
I love it. RJ's best bets: Jets +3, Bengals +3, Bucks -10, Panthers -3.5, Cleveland Chargers under 47. Two teaser special. One with spreads: Buffalo +8.5 and Dallas -1. Love it. And another with totals: New England under 45.5 and Pittsburgh Denver under 45.5 as well. My best bets: Jets +3, Panthers -3.5, Chargers -1.5, 49ers +5.5, Packers Bengals over 51, and Pats Texans under 39.5. Also, you can't lose parlay: Browns Chargers under 47, Ravens -7, Titans -4.5. That's the pick show for week 5. For Pete, Appointment Prisco, and RJ White, I'm Brinson. We'll see you guys later.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.